On Daf Ayin Gimel Mid Beis, and we're about 10 lines up from the bottom, and we're taking a look at Chata at Chet Elu Chai VeKrisus. And one of the derivations in the Brice that we mentioned earlier from the word Chet is that this is referring to the case of a Nerdefes, a woman who is being pursued by a Rodef for an illicit relationship, and it's a chiyuv kares. In other words, the relationship between the pursuer and the woman who's being pursued is that of a chiyuv kares, and in such a case, the pursuer can be put to death under the law of rodef in order to prevent him from violating the nerdefes. Ureminhu, the Gemara asks a kasha from a Mishnah in the third perek of Ksubas on Daf Chav Tes, the Elu Naris Sheyesh Lahen Knas, in a case of a Nara who is violated, then she collects a Knas, and the issue is going to be, do we fine the Boel a knas if at the same time he violated some sort of an iser erva, habal achoso? Now, if a man has a relationship with his sister, then why does she collect chamishim shekel? After all, an achoso relationship is an erva of a chiv kares. So the boel, in this case the rodef, would be chayev kares. And in the case of a chiyuv kares, we should activate the principle of kim levi the rabbi minei, and therefore the ach, the rodef, should be potter from the knas. And we have to understand why the Mishnah therefore says elu naris sheyesh lahem knas haba al achoso. If the Mishnah says that he has to pay a knas, then applying that logic, it must be then the case of a rodef, then a rodef should not be killed. So the Gemara offers a number of different answers. Amru Rabbanon Kamei Rav Chisda. First answer was suggested to Rav Chisda, Mishas Hara Dip Gama. Iftale miktola mamona lo mishalim ad gmar bia. There are two parts to bia al pidin. The first part is called hara, which refers to the first stage of the maisa bia. The Gemara is going to define this a little bit later, exactly what hara is. And at that moment, once there's hara, she now becomes a paguma. That's what's called in the Gemara's language, pagama, the pagam. She's already, so to speak, blemished, for lack of a better translation of the word pagam. Because once the halacha recognizes hara as a shem bia, at that point, she has had, through ones, this relationship which is a chiv kares, and that makes her into a zona. A zona means a pagam, she cannot marry a kohen. Now, at that point, since the pagam is already in existence, then it's already too late to kill the boel, the rodef, and prevent her from pagam. The pagam is already a reality. Therefore, at this point, the boel cannot be killed. And this is what we saw on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says that if the sin has already been committed with the woman, then we do not kill the pursuer in order to save her. So therefore, iftole miktola. But mamona lo mishalim ad gmar bia. But nevertheless, the chiv to pay the knas of chamishim shekel, That only applies in the case of an Nara Basula with Gemar Bia. When the attacker is Boel her with a Gemar Bia, and then he's what we call Shover Absulin, he removes her Basulin. And this is derived from a Pasuk in Dvarim Perek Chaf Beis. Pasuk speaks about a Nara Basula, a Shalo Orasa, who has not been betrothed. So since the Torah assesses the knas for, or imposes the knas for violating this basula, it means that the boel is only chayav when he removes her basulin, and that's only at gvar bia, because hara is too early to break the basulin. And now, since he cannot be killed because he's already implemented tchilas bia, then he has to pay the knas with the Gemar Bia. So that's the Mishnah of Haba al Achoso, meaning the din of Kimlev the Rabble requires simultaneity between the Chiv Misa and the Chiv Mamon. In this case of Achoso, however, the Chiv Misa is removed once it's already too late because she's already been Nifgema, and the Chiv Mamon will be generated by the Gemar Bia a little bit later on when he breaks the Basulin. So therefore, there's a Chiyuv Knas, even though the Brice agrees that he was at one point when he initiated his contact with his sister A, he was liable to be killed under the law of Rodef, but nevertheless, at the time that he got to Gemar Bia and generated a Chiv Knas, he was already past that stage of being a Rodef. He was no longer liable to execution, and therefore the Kimlei V'Dravinei, which requires simultaneity of Be'idna, can no longer be enforced. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, Hani Chalamanti Omar Ha'ra Zunashika. It's true, your premise is right, that the beginning of Bia would not break her Besulin if you hold that Ha'ra is just Nashika. It means when the male organ meets the outside of the female organ, which is the first contact. Then, at this point, the Rodef, the Boel, is already pogame through Tchilas Bia, even before he's chayev for breaking the Basulin. And therefore, there's no Kim Levi the Rabbine. Ela Mandiyom Ha'ra Zuach Nasat Torah. But according to the Mandiyom, who says that it's not the initial contact between the male and the female organs that is considered hara. That's not hara. Hara requires a penetration, and if that be the case, ma'ikal meimar. In other words, how can the Mishnah say that the boel is chayav knas for being baal achoso? After all, the breaking of the basulim for which he be chayev knas is simultaneous with the chiyuv for hara, which is the chiyuv for a baal achoso, which would make him already chayev as a rodef at that point. So if the Mishnah says that baal achoso is chayev knas, then that would prove that he's not allowed to be killed during this act, again, because if he could be killed during this act, then he'd be potter from Tashlume Knas under the law of Kimle Pundamarmine. Now, if that be the case, this ruling of the Mishnah is a stira to the Bryce's ruling. So again, let's just go over the facts here on the ground. The woman becomes Paguma and a Zona at the very first stage of Bia, when the halacha recognizes the Bia. That's the initial, now, according to one opinion, that's the initial contact, which we call Harara Zunashika, and at that point already she's Paguma, we cannot kill the attacker. However, if we go with, and again, the Boel is not Chayav a Knas until Shviras Habsulim, which is much later, if you hold that Ha'ara Zunashika. And therefore, if that be the case, we understand why the Ach is Chayev a knas for Baal HaChoso, even though, or shall we say, because he's not Chayiv Misa at the time that he incurs the knas, there already was a pagam, and therefore there's no Chayiv Misa after Ha'arazu Nashika. But if on the other hand we hold Ha'arazu Hachnas Satara, then the Boel, the Ach, already with the pagam of Shviras Habsulin, which generates the Chiyuv Knas at that moment, he's Chayav Misa, and he should be killed under the law of Rodev. Therefore, we should apply Kimlei b'Rabbi Minei. And therefore, if you go with the Mandiyomer that Hachnosas Atar defines Ara, then the Mishnah must be ruling that you cannot kill the Rodev. That's against the Brisa. The Brisa is assuming that we can kill the Rodev. So now the Gemara wants to find a different answer to possibly reconcile the Mishnah with the Brisa. El Amar Papa Kigon Sheba Aleha Shalo Kidarka. The Mishnah's case is where he had an unnatural kind of beer with her, which doesn't break her basulin, and Chazar Uba Aleha Kidarka, and then again he had a ma'ani. He was ma'anis her in the natural way. Okay, so now we're talking about the ach and the achos, when he initially attacked her in an unnatural way, which is called in English anal intercourse. Then at that point, the act of bia of shaloka darka is already considered halachically to be a maisa bia with regard to Dia called Dine Torah, with the exception again of Shviras Habsulin and Chiyuv Knas. The woman therefore is already a zona through act number one, which is the Shloka Darka, and therefore she's already Paguma. Now the second attack would not, shall we say, humiliate her, just like the first fact. Now if the Ach violated her in the second attack, naturally kedarka, he would not be chayev misa. I mean, under the law of Rodev, but yet he would incur a chiyuv knas, because in the second attack, and only in the second attack, did he break the Besulin, and therefore he incurs a Chiyuv Knas. So this is the answer of Rav Chizda. Rav gives a different answer. Rav Amar, b'minichaso shelo yargena. And this will introduce the Shita of Rav Yehuda with regard to Rodev, that there's such a thing as Mechila on the part of the Nirda for the Rodev. Here's a case where the sister allowed her brother to violate her, and therefore we don't see in his Redifa a Chiyuv to kill him. He's not going to kill her, and that's Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He holds that a woman cannot be saved as a nirdefes at the cost of killing the Rodev's life. And therefore, since the Rodev cannot be killed, therefore there's no kimlei d'rabbi, and he has to pay a knas. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Dalid, Omer Aleph, which is the daf that we wanted to begin today. Rav Pop Amri gives another answer. B'mefuta, the Mishnah is talking in a case of a woman who was seduced. So we're talking about a man seduces a Nara, and he's going to have to pay a Chamishim Shekel Knas if he doesn't marry her, just like the Ma'anis, the one who rapes her. V'divrei HaKol. And now we don't have to introduce the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Dafkin Machlok Shrim Rabbi Yehuda Chachamim revolves the case of a Hatzola, where the Matzil is going to save an erva from being forcefully violated. That's according to, in other words, she, let's say she refused to help out because she's afraid of her life. In such case, Rav Yehuda says that the rodef could not be killed, whereas the Chachamim say that we do kill the rodef. So again, we're talking about a case where the, let's say the matzil is willing to kill the rodef, the boel, in order to save the erva from an ones situation, just that she refused the help of the rodef, of the matzil, because she was afraid of her life. Rabbi Yehuda says that you cannot kill the rodef, whereas the Chachamim say since she only refused the help because she was afraid of her life, she was afraid she'd be killed, therefore we kill the rodef. He's a full-fledged rodef. Now, if we had no reason to suspect the ulterior motive that she agreed only because of fear of her life, if the erva, the niveles, the nirdefes, actually agreed because she agreed to have this relationship, or in the case of seduction, she agreed, then we cannot kill the rodef. And that's according to everybody. So therefore, if we're talking about a case of mafuta, then diriakol, everybody agrees that we cannot kill the rodef in a case of a mafuta, and therefore he's chayev the chamishim shekel knas. Abai Omar, he gives another answer, biyachol lahatzil bi'echad meivara. The Mishnah is referring to a case where she, the nedefes, could be saved and protected even without killing the rodef. And that means we could, as we say in modern parlance, we could shoot for the legs. And that would save the nedefes, but without killing the rodef. Rabbi Yonasan ben Shol Omer, rodef shay rodef achar chaver lahorg of yochal atzilo bi'echad me'evarov velo hitzil neragolov. That there's an absolute prohibition against killing the rodef in a case where we can achieve the hatzolos hanirdof without killing the rodef. And in the Mishnah's case as well, all the matzil had to do in order to be in order to protect the nirdefes was to injure the rodef, and therefore there's no chiv misa, there's no possibility of killing the rodef under those circumstances. He must pay the chamishim shekel knas, because there's no kimlei rabine, there was no possibility halachically of killing the rodef. So let's just sort of summarize. We had a steer here between the Brice on Daf Ayin Gimel Amid Aleph and the Mishnah here in Ksubas Daf Chav Tes. According to the Brice, when a rodef is pursuing an erva and he wants to violate her, he should be killed. And yet, in the case of the Mishnah Ksubis, Ach Alachoso, he's Chayv Knas. Now, if he's Chayv Knas, it means there's no Kimle Rabin, it means he cannot be killed for pursuing an erva. So the Gemara offers basically five different resolutions to reconcile the Brisa with the Mishnah, and to explain why in the Mishnah, in Ksubis, the Ach has to pay the Knas, and that's not against the Bryce's ruling that a pursuer of an erva should be killed. So the Chachamim giving the first answer, that's before Rav Chisda, they say that there's a difference between Tchilas Bia and Sof Bia. Rav Chisda says that this is a case where the erva was violated by a Bia Shelo Kedarka, and subsequently there was a Bia Kedarka. Rava gives the answer that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the Nirdefes, the Erva, asked the Matzil to stay away. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, in such a case, we don't kill the Rodef. And therefore, he's obligated to pay the Knas. Rav Papa's answer was the Mishnah was a case of Mefuta. And in the case of Mefuta, certainly we don't kill the Rodef. And Abai's answer is that the Mishnah is discussing a case where the Nerdefes could have been saved without killing the Rodef. Now at this point, the Gemara is analyzing Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul in the case of Yochel Atzil Bech Mivarov. My time with Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, what's the source for his principle? How does he know that we're not allowed to kill a Rodef if all we have to do is injure him? V'yochel atzilu b'echad me'varov. And the Gemara answers, the Chsiv, the Pasuk says, in the Parsha of Kimle b'derabim hineh, it says that v'chiyinotzu anoshim yachtov. So we're talking about men who are fighting each other. And this is in Shmos Perek Chof Aleph. And in the course of that fight, they bang into a pregnant woman and she miscarries. V'yomer Ablozar b'matzus shebemisa hakosuv medaber. In other words, we're talking about a fight in which the two opponents were out for blood. They wanted to kill one another. And again, they jolted a pregnant woman unintentionally. V'dichsiv v'yim oson yeh v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh. That if there will be a death, meaning if the woman dies as a result of this banging up against her, then the one who kills her will be executed. He's chayav misa zerotzeach. Now, if he didn't have any intention of killing someone, why would he be chayav misa? It must be that the fellow was trying to kill his adversary here, and that gives him the status of a rodef. Afilu hachi omar achmana v'lo ye'oson anosh ye'onesh. In this very set of circumstances, if she doesn't die, but rather she miscarries, and that engenders a chiyuv mamon to pay for the vlad, then the Torah says, anosh ye'onesh. Okay, which means that the reason why he has to pay for the vlad is because she survived. And therefore, if she survived, there's no chiyuv misa. He didn't kill her, he killed the vlad, and for that he has to pay financially, he has to pay a din of nezikin. And this really proves that he was not liable to execution during the fight. If he was liable to execution during the fight, it must mean that he's not chayev misa. You cannot kill him, even though he's a rodef. Because again, if he was chayev to be executed, then he would certainly be free from any payment under the principle of kim levi d'rabmine. Now, since the Torah does in fact say anosh yonosh, he has to pay, it must be that he may not be killed during the fight. And the Gemara has to explain why that's so. Iyamit bishlema, if you have the luxury of applying the principle of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul, that yochel atzil menifah lo nitan latzil benafsho, we could explain the mitzias here that the Torah is talking about, that you cannot kill the rodef, and that's why he has to pay for the killing of the loss of the vlad, and that's because we have a situation in which there was no need in order to save the nirdof to kill the rodef. We could have had our cake and eat it too. We could have, and on the one hand, saved the nirdof, and at the other hand, we could have just injured the rodef. His Hainid Mishkachas Odeyonesh, and now we have a clear-cut case in which the Torah is describing a chiyuv onesh to pay. And even though a person has the din of a rodef, but we cannot kill him, and therefore there's no kimle v'rabine. Kedgon sheyochel atzilu b'echad me'varav. Ela i'amid, if you're going to say that yochel atzilu b'echad me'varav nami nitan latzilu b'nafshi, if there's an absolute rule that we can kill the rodef, and we don't have to bother with removing his limb in order to protect the nirdof without killing the rodef, is hechi mishkachas le'yonesh. How could we possibly come up with a case in which there's no din of kimlev the rabbi. Yonish yonish means he has to pay the financial obligation of a mazik if he's liable to be executed as a rodef during the fight. That's kimlev the rabbi. So this could be a source for Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. The Gemara says, no, I can reject that proof. Dilma shiny hocha, perhaps the case of the Torah here is a different case, because the misa lazev, tashlum lazev, there's no kimlev the ramine because of the principle of misa lazev, tashlum lazev. What does that mean? What this means is that there were two people involved in a fight, and the chiv misa for the attacker who is about to kill his adversary, that's called misa lazeh. So Reuven's about to kill Shimon, and he's threatening Shimon's life. His chiv misa, Reuven as a rotzeach, is because of Shimon. However, the damages goes to the woman, or maybe to her husband, and that we have to see, for destroying the vlad. So the woman doesn't lose her monetary rights to claim compensation because he's chayav misa to someone else. So there's no, we cannot apply the principle of kim leibim the rabbinei in this case. Say no chinami, we will kill the rodef under the law of rodef. Ah, you'll ask if so. So where's the kim leibim the rabbinei? Why not? Why don't we apply kim leibim the rabbinei? Why does he nevertheless, the Torah says onosh yonesh? And the answer is because that's misa lezeh, v'tashlum lezeh. The Gemara now slugs this up. Lo shna. There's no difference whether it's misa lezeh, v'tashlum lezeh, or misa l'shneh, v'tashlum l'shneh. All this is irrelevant. Even if the two averos were committed against the same person, against the different people, it makes no difference. And it means that there's a chiv misa, a capital, there's a death penalty that would knock off any financial obligation whatsoever, even for a different kind of avera, which is lazeh. And since the pasuk says that the person who killed the vlad is going to have to pay damages, this would support the view of Rabbi Yonasan ben Shaul. We must be talking about a case where he's not chayv misa, he's not a rodef, because efshal atzilo b'echad me'evarav. So now the Gemara has come to the final decision, the final conclusion, that a chayv misa will always knock off a financial obligation, a chayv mamon, meaning kimle d'ramine, even if the liabilities come from two different crimes against two different people. There's one crime against the Shimon who is about to be killed, and there's another crime against the Vlad. And the Gemara now wants to bring a statement of Rava to prove this. The Omar Rava, Rodef Shaya Rodef Achar Chavero Veshiber Sakelim. So imagine what's happening here. Reuven is pursuing Shimon, and as he's doing so, he's breaking Levi's Kelim. How do I know it's Levi's Kelim? Because Rava says, Bein shall nidof, Bein shall kol Adam, whoever owns these Kelim. Now Levi comes along and he says to Reuven, you broke my Kelim, you have to pay me for this. And Rava Paskin said, he's potter. My timer, why is he potter? And the answer is, Mischai benafshuhi, because we apply the principle of Kim Lev the Ramine. And again, it's Misa Lezeh, V'tashlumin Lezeh. Because the misa is because Reuven's running after Shimon and threatening Shimon's life. The kelim belong to Levi. So the Gemara now goes on and quotes another statement of Rava. V'nirdaf sheshiber es hakelim shel rodev. What's the din, asks Rava, if the nirdaf who's being pursued by the rodev breaks the kelim of the rodev? And here you might ask, well, did the nirdaf have rights, legal rights, according to halacha, to break the kelim of the rodev? Or does he have to pay for that? And the psak, the ruling of Rav, is poti, doesn't have to pay. That's because of a specific relationship between the rodev and the nirdaf, flipping around the nirdaf and the rodev, but shall call Adam, if the nirdaf, in order to save himself, has to break kalim of somebody else, then he's chayv, he has to pay damages. And the Gemara tries to analyze the logic of Rava, this distinction between shall rodev, kalim shall rodev, or kalim shall call Adam. Shall rodev patur, why shall yehi mamono chaviv olav migufo? In other words, since his life is so valuable, and he's allowed to save his life and kill the rodev, then kolshken, how much more so that he can destroy the property of the rodev in order to save himself? And this would imply that the chiyuv nezikin is because of some sort of violation of an iser. Here he didn't violate any iser because he's allowed to kill the rodev. Certainly he's allowed to destroy his kalim. But shall call Adam if he breaks kalim of someone else other than the rodev, as chayv yas the peshe matzil atzmo b'momen chavero. He's saving himself with someone else's momen. Now it's not clear, did he need to destroy that momen to save his life? If he did, pikuach nefesh is docha kol hatora kula. So if it was impossible to save his own life in any other way, then obviously there's no violation of any avera. He's chayev to destroy any property in order to save his own life. But perhaps one could say, and this becomes lumdish, this becomes very complicated, it's more for an Ian Shia, that yes, he had to break someone else's kalim, but that doesn't mean he, you know, had to be potter from damages in order to save his life. And we have to differentiate between the maisa of shviras kalim shel kol adam as an act of hatzalah and shviras kalim shel adam as an act of mazik. All this has to be analyzed very carefully. For rodef shayu rodef acha rodef latzilo. Now Rava asks another question. What about the matzil? The matzil now is running after the rodef to save the nirdof. Vishiber es hakelim is bein shel rodef, bein shel nirdof, bein shel kol adam patur. Wow, this is really wild. Now the third party here, we'll call him Levi, who's here to save Shimon from Reuven, breaks kalim of Yehuda, and that's shall call him that he doesn't have to pay damages. Well, we just finished saying that Nirdof himself, if he breaks Yehuda's kalim, he'll pay Yehuda. Why is it that that Levi, who's the third party, is trying to save Shimon's life? He's exempt from paying. And the Gemara says v'lo min adin. In other words, let's look at the logic here, the strict letter of the law, and we would come to the conclusion that in Ochinami, this third party, the Matzil, would have to pay Shel Kolon, they have to pay him damages, but this is not Minadin, this is not according to strict law. We're going to exempt him from damages under a different Takona. We have to encourage this mitzvah to save someone. If the matzil knows that he's going to have to be liable for damages, compensate third parties, then he's going to be inhibited to get involved in this case. And therefore, the takonas chachomim was through hefker bezin hefker that he doesn't have to pay any damages. Now let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Avol rodef achar behema," that if a person wants to have relationship with an animal, or he wants to desecrate Shabbos, or he's about to engage in avodah zarah, then in these cases we may not kill any of these kinds of rodfim in quotation marks in order to prevent them from sinning. Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer, ha'oved avodas kocham nitan latzil b'nafsho. If a person is about to violate avodah zarah, then we kill him in order to save his life. And that's very interesting. You know, he's going to die anyway by nitan latzil b'nafsho, but at least he'll die innocent, guiltless of idol worship. How does Rav Shimon bar Yochai derive this conclusion? Mikal v'chomer umap gam hejot. If in the case of Naira Muros, in order to prevent the Nara from a pgam, nitan latzilo benafsha, the Torah says you can save the nirdefes at the cost of the pursuer's life. In other words, we have to make sure that this avera doesn't happen, and in order to prevent the pgam, we can kill the rodef who's about to initiate this pgam. Is pgam gavolo kolshken? How much more so in the case of idol worship, which is a pgam against Hashem? And for sure, we have to therefore protect God's honor at the cost of the life of the idolater, or shall we say, the would-be idolater. So the logic of the Kal Vachomer is that the Torah allows us to kill a pursuer to protect the dignity of a human being, how much more so to protect the dignity of Hashem. Now, l'chor, there's a pirch on this Kal Vachomer, because if you attack a human being, then it's a terrible sin. The victim is actually harmed, but Hashem is not a human being. Hashem is not actually harmed or dishonored. So the Ad Ramah says that Rav Shimon bar Yochai considers it obvious that this sin of desecrating God's name by violating Avodah Zarah is a more serious offense than harming a human being. If we kill a rodef in order to protect the nirdaf, then certainly we should kill the rodef in order to protect and prevent idol worship. So it's not the way we said it before, that we want to kill the rodef in order that he should die guiltless before he violates Avodah Zarah, like the case of Ben Sora Moreh, you know, Yomus Zakai Val Yomus Chayev. But rather we're killing him, according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, in order to protect the, you know, the honor of, I don't know what word to use, the to avoid the desecration of God's name, to avoid Achil Hashem of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara now attacks Rav Shimon bar Yochai v'chion shimon adin. Does Rav Shimon bar Yochai deny the principle that we cannot punish a person based on din? And the Gemara sees the killing of the rodef here as an onesh under the law of onesh. And the Gemara answers, "Kasovar on shimon adin ein chinam." We have to conclude that Rav Shimon bar Yochai rejected this principle of ein on shimon adin in favor of on shimon adin. Now, it could be that we accept the view that ein on shimon adin, but Rav Shimon bar Yochai belongs to a minority view of dissenters who hold on shimon adin. Tanya, the Gemara quotes another brisa now, Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Omer, Hamachal es Hashabbos nitan latzil v'nash. So until now, we saw Rav Shimon bar Yochai in the case of avoiding Avodah Zarah. But what about in the case of Chil Shabbos, that we didn't see any commitment on the part of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, but here we have a statement of Rav Elazar Rav Shimon that in order to prevent the desecration of the Shabbos, we kill the rodef. And the answer is, he was just standing on the shoulders of his father, Rav Shimon, Sovra l'kavua d'yomar on Shimon adin. And we have to equate Chil Shabbos as a Chil Hashem, a desecration of God's name, with Avodah Zarah. And On Shimon Adin, and Asya Shabbos b'chilul chilul me'avodas kochavim. There's a gzeir shav chilul chilul. In both cases, the Torah uses the word chilul. With regard to Shabbos, it says in Shmos Perek Lamed Aleph, that Michal Shabbos is Chayiv Misa, he's put to death. So you see the word Chilul in Vayikra Perek Yudches, with regard to the case of Molech, and again the Gemara now assumes that Molech is a form of Avodah Zarah, it also says Chilul Shem Hashem. And that Gezeirah Shavah will teach us that there's an equation between a Chil Shabbos and Chilul Hashem through Avodah Zarah. And just like you can kill someone who's about to be Ovid Avodah Zarah, that's Rav Shimon bar Yochai, so too says Rav Elazar, that we can kill someone who's about to desecrate the Shabbos. And this, by the way, touches on the famous principle of Mumar. A Mumar, Lavodas Kochavim, is considered a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula. And a Mumar L'chol Shabbos for us is also a Mumar L'chol HaTorah Kula, derived from this equation of Chilul Chilul. The Gemara now wants to know, does a person have to give up his life rather than violate an avera? How far do we go with the principle of a chaybahem? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yod Sadok, Nimnu v'gomru ba'liyas beis nisisa b'lud. In the attic of beis nisisa, in the city of Lud, the chachamim gathered, probably during the time of the revolution against the Romans. In any event, they took a vote there, and they decided that even though kol aver shebetorim omrim lo demavar v'al tehoreg is yavro v'al yehoreg, in all aver shebetorah, he does not allow himself to be killed, rather he violates the law of the Torah. Chutz mi'avodas kochom gilareis v'shvichas domim, these are the big three cardinal sins, where a person has to give up his life rather than commit any of these violations. Now, when it says Yavar Val Yehorik for Shara Aver Shabbatorah, here we have a gigantic machlokus Rishonim as to whether or not the halach is Yavar, he has to violate the Torah, or shall we say, the way the Kesef Mishnah says in the name of the Ramak, that he doesn't have to give up his life, he has permission to violate the Torah, Yavar, but if he voluntarily wants to give up his life beyond the call of duty, then he's allowed, he's permitted to sacrifice his life, and that's a great act of Kiddush Hashem. The Gemara says, Avodas Kochavim lo, is that really true that he has to give up his life rather than violate Avodas Kochavim? V'atanya, don't we have a brisa that says, Om Rabbi Yishmoel Minayin, Shem Omru lo Odom Avod, Avodas Kochavim v'al tehoreg. Minayin she yavar v'al yehorik tamalom v'chay bohem. So we see that the principle of v'chay bohem v'lo she yomis bohem applies even to the case of avodah zara. That's the principle of Rabbi Yishmael. Then the Braisa continues and says, Yochol afilu b'farhesya. I might think that the rule of yavar v'al yehorik should apply even if he worships an avodah zarah publicly. The Gemara later on Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Beis is going to discuss what exactly constitutes bifar hesya. Tamalom v'lo sechal l'shem kodshi v'nigdashti b'tok b'nei Yisrael. So if it's b'tok b'nei Yisrael, which is far hesya, the Gemara is going to derive that that's asar b'Yisrael, then he has to give up his life. So the Braisa clearly says that in a case of Bitsina, upon threat of death, he's allowed to worship an idol. And this is against the psak of Beis Nisizah, the attic of Beis Nisizah. And the Gemara answers, Inu, those who in Beis Nisizah, Diomer ki Rabbi Eliezer. So they accepted the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Whereas this last Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel rejected that Shita. So Who is Rabbi Eliezer? Meaning, what shita was Rabbi Eliezer? The sanya we learned to the brayso. Rabbi Eliezer Omer v'yahavtas Hashem alkech v'chol avavcha v'chol nafshcha uv'chol meodecha. And if you take apart the pasuk into its, you know, dissect it into its parts, you have b'chol avavcha, you have b'chol nafshcha, you have b'chol meodecha. Im nemar b'chol nafshcha, lomar nemar b'chol meodecha. V'im nemar b'chol meodecha, lomar nemar b'chol nafshcha. So we have to give a chiddush for each one of these phrases. And they address different scenarios, different situations, and different kinds of people. If his life is more precious to him than his possessions, which is a normal, psychologically healthy way, L'kach nevachol nafshcha tells you have to give up your life. And how much more so do you have to give up your possessions? But in Yeshlecha Adam, you have a person who'd rather die than give up his mamon, memono chaviv olav migufo, which is mind-boggling to think that a person is in such love for money and possessions that he would rather die than give up his possessions, is l'kach nema b'chol modecha. For such a person, he has to give up all his possessions in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. And therefore, it's clear that according to this drasha, this brisa of Rabbi Eliezer, we must conclude that a person has to sacrifice his life, mesiras nefesh, yehorik val yav, rather than worship an idol. And that's the b'chol nafshecha. And therefore, Therefore, the psak that was given in the Beis Nissa certainly reflects the view of Rabbi Eliezer, but Rabbi Shmuel did not accept that view as far as Avodah Zarah B'Tzinah is concerned. Now, once the Gemara, the Sugya, has quoted already a makar, a source in the Torah, for the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, of Yeharik V'Yav, in the case of Avodah Zarah, the Gemara now wants to define the makar for Gila Reis and Shvichas Damim. Gila Reis, Shvichas Damim. How do we know that you have to give up your life rather than do this? Kide Rebbe. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, Rebbe Omer, Ki Kasher Yakum Ish HaReyehu Ritzocho Nefesh, Kein HaDover, as there's an equation in this Pasuk, between the case of Ones, and that's Gila Reis, and the case of Ritzicha. Now, what is this equation coming to teach us, this Hekesh? V'chima ba lamdenu me'rotzeach. What do we derive from Rotzeach, from the law of a Rotzeach, as far as a Nara Hamuros is concerned? L'chor, there's nothing to derive. Me'ata reze bolo lamed v'nimtza lamad. So in such a case, we flip it around and we say that instead of deriving some conclusion from Rotzeach to Nara Murasa, let's do it the other way around. We'll derive a conclusion in Rotzeach from Nara Murasa. Makish Rotzeach to Nara Murasa. Ma Nara Murasa nitan latzilo benafsho. Just like the Torah says pretty explicitly, that you kill the Rodef in order to save the near defis, in this case the Nara Murasa. So to Rotzeach nitan latzilo benafsho. Again, why that requires a hekesh and that and cannot be derived from a kal v'chomer, that has to be understood. But now the Gemara applies the rule of ein hekesh lemechtza, and the hekesh has to go in the other direction as well. Umakish naram rosal lerotzeach. There must be some din that we derive from rotzeach to the case of naram rosal ma rotzeach yaharik val yavar af naram rosal teharik val tavar. That for the sake of Gila Reis, to avoid Gila Reis, you have to give up your life. Now, in a sense, we beg the question. We were looking for a source, and ultimately, you're just pushing it up one notch, that the source that we found in the case of Gila Reis is from Rotzeach. So now the Gemara asks, Rotzeach Gufa Minolon. So what's the source for the fact that we kill the Rodef? I shouldn't say we kill the Rodef, but we kill the Rotzeach. And not only that, the threat to a person to be killed if he doesn't kill someone else is not in any way a justification to kill somebody. You cannot apply the principle of a chai bahem to save your life at the expense of murdering someone else's life. You have to sacrifice your life rather than murder someone else. What's the source for that? Once we get that, then we can derive Nara Moros and Gilia Rai, says Yarik Val Yava, from Rotzeach Svarahu. Fascinating. You see the power of a svara. Tahu di osalakami de rabba. The case of a person who came in for a rabba. I don't know exactly how he had the ability to come in front of rabba and tell him the following story. Omali more duroi. The governor of my town, apparently some sort of a guy, said to me, Zil katle leplanya, go kill so and so. And then he let me go free. V'lok tilnaloch, but I'm going to be, I'm going to be tracing you down. And if you don't kill him, then katil nalacha, I'll kill you. So what should I do in this case? Amalei, so Rabbi answered him, lik tiluch, let the governor kill you. V'lo tikta, but you don't kill anyone. Mi'emar didomach didach simuch tvei, dilma domach tahu gavra simuch tvei. Who says that your blood is redder than his? Maybe his blood is redder than yours. And Rashi embellishes this, and he says that the whole point of a chai bohem is because the nefesh al adam is yikara, is very precious in the eyes of God. So violate God's Torah for the sake of a nefesh, but you don't gain anything by giving up one nefesh and killing someone. And in a certain sense, this gives us the principle of shevi altas, which is going to be the main sugya coming around the bend of Esther and Karka Olam, that you really can't decide whose blood is. You have to be passive. You cannot actively murder someone and make that decision that your blood is redder than his. Just be passive. So again, if there's a choice between between any other averos or being killed, then we said, with the exception of the three cardinal sins of Gilarash, because Tom Vodazar, you have to be willing, you're allowed to violate the Aver. Ki Asa Rav Dimi Om Rav Yochanan Lo Shanu El Shalo B'Shas Gzeras HaMalchus Amal B'Shas Gzeras HaMalchus Afilu Mitzvah Kala Yehor Gval Yavar. You have to give up your life during a period of anti-Semitism, of oppression, when the governmental decrees want to destroy and undermine Torah Judaism. That's called Shas Gzeres Malchus. Then you have to give your life even for a minor mitzvah. So the Gemara says, what is a minor mitzvah? And that we're going to see is the sugya of Arkasa de Masani. But before we get to that, Ki Asa Ravin Amrab Yochanan, when Ravin came to Bavel from Eretz Yisrael, we learned Torah by Rabbi Yochanan. He said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Afilu shelo b'shas hashmad." Forget about a moment of shmad, a period of time in which the goyim are trying to obliterate Jewish religion. Lo amru ela b'tzina b'farhesi afilu mitzvah kali yehar gval yavar. In the case of farhesia, no matter what the nature of the avera is, you have to give up your life. So you don't have to introduce here the shas gzeras Malchus. When a sin is done in public, that's already Chil Hashem. He has to give up his life rather than be Mechal Shem Shemayim. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. Now, the question here is, does the principle that was derived from Rav Dimi in the name of Rav Yochanan, namely Shas Gzeres Malchus, have any significance? Has it become a null set? You just said that even Shalom Shas Hashmad, you'd have to give up your life for an avera b'farhesi afilu mitzvah kala. And l'chora, we can give two answers to this question. Number one, yes, both statements are correct for one of two answers, for one of two reasons. The first statement, Rabbi Yochanan, applies even in sinah, even without farhesi, because it's shas gzeres malchus. The second case, which is shelo b'shas gzeres malchus, that's only a chiyuv yehareg val yavar of Kiddush Hashem to sacrifice your life b'far hesya. And beyond that, there is a chumrah in the case of shas gzeres malchus, not only, as we said earlier, because of tzina, but also even something called a mitzvah kala, which might not come technically under a mitzvah per se, but it has to do with Shas Gzeres Malchus, whereas in the case of Shelo v'Shas Shmad, which is a machayev of any aver, it might have to be one of the 613, it's not one of the big three, but nevertheless, it's not some sort of a custom or so. My mitzvah kal, the Gemara says, under what circumstances does a person have to give up his life b'Shas HaShmad for a mitzvah kala? Now here, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi didn't learn my pshat. Rashi learns that mitzvah kala applies in both statements of Rabbi Yochanan, and it's equal. Whether it's shas, gzeras, malchus, shas hashmad, even b'tzina, or it's shalov shas hashmad farhesia, in both cases you have to give up your life for a mitzvah kala. And what constitutes a mitzvah kala? Omar Rav, and here we turn to Daf Ayin Dalid Amud Beis. Afilu l'shanuye arkesod de Mesani. Even if he forces you to change your shoelaces, let's say the Jews wore a modest color on their shoelaces, white or black or something, and then the goyim dressed in an immodest way. They wore red shoelaces. And there is a distinctive Jewish way of doing that, that we have to avoid chukas ha-goyim in the case of tznius, of modesty. And if we imitate the goyim, that itself is a kind of a chil Hashem if we do so in public or during Shas HaShmad. Now, the conclusion of the sugya is going to be kama farhesya, meaning we're saying that shelo b'shas hashmad is a chiv to give up your life b'farhesya, even for a mitzvah kal like the arkas of the mesane. So exactly what is considered farhesya, that's going to be the sugya here on daf ayin dalet amid beis, and if it's Hashem, we'll pick that up in the next year.